welcome to this month's edition of our Working Waterfront with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and my co-hosts are Port of Port Townsend's Director Aaron Berg and Port Commissioner Pam Petranek. It's our monthly update on news and issues surrounding our vibrant maritime community. And what we're accustomed to doing is getting an update from Aaron right off the bat to find out what's happening around the port. Our little personal joke is that we're always busy. But we have to define busy every month because it changes, doesn't it?
It sure does, and it remains busy. This is kind of the what would you call these? The dog days of summer now. From the port standpoint, we're still actively engaged in wrapping up summer capital projects and beginning the planning for the 2022 budget and supporting the commission in its work in developing budget policy. So that's really the focus right now. Probably new from recent updates, we are continuing to search aggressively for funding for major projects and are in the process of completing an application for a big Tier 2 grant to help fund the replacement of the linear float at Boat Haven, which is about a $3 million project, and this could support us with about $1 million. We're continuing to work with our representatives on other kind of immediate needs, including some boatyard expansion issues. We're looking at a funding opportunity that could help us at Point Hudson with linear float there, as well as some of the buildings. This is an unprecedented time in terms of federal spending, and we're wanting to position the port to be able to take advantage of some of those dollars. So that's what's going on here.
Thanks, Aaron. And we're actually standing in the middle of Charlie Noble Enterprises, better known as Thompson Boat Works. And we have a special guest here, but we'll get to that because I want Pam to do the introductions.
Well, I do want to say a little bit more about where we're interviewing from right now because we are in Dave's shop. It's an open shop with a roof open to the air. We're surrounded by really good smells of lots of different types of wood, sawdust, saws, linseed oil, workers going back and forth, and right outside of the shop is the boatyard full of our boats that are hauled out and unfortunately not out sailing in the water. But I want to introduce you to Dave Thompson and give him a title to start with. We're going to give him the title of a career of a lifetime. He's an iconic Port Townsend shipwright. He grew up in Spokane, racing sailboats on Lake Coeur d'Alene. He was a tin can sailor on a U.S. Navy destroyer in the early 60s in the Far East. In 1974, he set out sailing in his 30-foot sloop, Viking, from Seattle to ports unknown, stopped in Port Townsend, and never left. He was a founding member of the PT Shipwrights Co-op, taught some caulking classes for Bob Prothero at the boat school. He served two terms as a Port Townsend commissioner from 2006 to 2014 and is on the board of the Port Townsend Marine Trades Association. In the late 80s, he started Charlie Noble Enterprises, aka Thompson Boat, the open-air boat shop currently on the east end of Boat Haven, right behind the Port Administration Building. On any given day, there are people stopping by asking for a part they don't have, for free advice, for free stuff, but mostly, how do I do this, Dave? In his absence, Dylan McKay has come to reply over and over, Dave's not here, man. Dylan, one of the many boat school graduates who have come through his shop and spent time honing their skills and immersing in the waterfront's everybody works together culture. I want to thank Dave for the career of a lifetime.
Thank you, Pam. Dave Thompson, I love just sitting here. It's a shop at semi-rest right now, and so are you, but not for long.
Well, it's true. I'll have to get up here pretty soon.
Well, you've been here with this shop, and you were one of the co-founders of the Shipwrights Co-op. And I noticed a lot of tools around here, and I noticed in the Shipwright Co-op's logo, there's this saw, part of the image. C- Can you tell me about that and what the significance is?
Well, it's a ship saw from the Petrich Yards in Tacoma called Western Boat. We ended up going down and getting the saw, Richard Wilmore and I, and it was not well received initially. I thought we'd spent too much money, but it was a ship saw, and we really needed a ship saw.
From the Petrich Boatyards, and that leads me to the American Flyer. Didn't Petrich build that boat?
Yeah, that was built at Western Boat.
Since then, Charlie Noble Enterprises, when did that happen?
In the late 80s. After I got out of the Shipwrights Co-op, I did some work out of state in San Diego and Miami and away from the co-op because I didn't want to interfere with their business because people were my customers and they came to me and I didn't want to mess up their work. So I worked out of town for a while.
And you came back. I think what I would like to know is what it was like when you first sailed into Port Townsend. How much money was in your pocket? What were you doing? And how did you get started here?
Well, mooreage was $12.50 for a 30-foot slip, which I took. And one of the first jobs that I had here was driving the travel lift and working on the yard crew. But then I got involved in working on boats more.
And working on boats meant a lot of different things, didn't it?
Yeah, well, I started working at the boatworks. Mark Burns started business down there, and he was an ex-fisherman, and another fellow, Peacock, was an ex-fisherman, and they started the boatworks. A lot of the hippie trollers, showed up at the boatworks and got quality repair for a reasonable price, so they kept coming back and built the business. Mark actually put us on the map here.
Anybody leading an alternative lifestyle like our hippies would find it affordable to buy a wooden boat as opposed to any other kind of craft at that time, right?
Well, I'm not sure. I ended up coming to the coast from Spokane after I got out of the Navy and got a landing craft to live on while I was going to the university. Then I traded that for another boat and that for another boat and ended up sailing up here.
What made the boatyard itself a mecca for wooden boats?
Well, there was a lot of wooden boats in the late 70s. I mean, most of the fishing fleet was wood boats, so we got a fair amount of work. There's been a fair bit of attrition in the wood boat business, in the wood boats themselves. They sink and burn and crash into rocks, and so there's fewer, but they're still productive.
Have you expanded your operation here to service a lot of different kinds of boats besides wooden boats?
No. We just do primarily woodwork. One of the fellows here is doing aluminum work, but he's moving to another shop where they do more of that. But primarily we just do wood.
How did you start your shop here? And did you start by yourself? Did you bring on others as you were building it? And tell us how that's evolved through the years.
Well, mostly I was working by myself on smaller projects. But as my relationship with the port matured, I was able to get into a better position to do larger projects. And that necessitated getting more people involved here. The boat school turns out quite a crew every year, and they're looking for something to do. So we try and provide them with something to do if we can.
And if they're willing to work really hard, I think a lot of our younger folks are starting out with just maybe a small collection of tools in their trunk and they're working from there. How do you aid and abet those folks to get them where they can be called shipwrights?
Well, a lot of them come here as graduate shipwrights or graduates from the boat school. And a lot of people who don't have that experience have other experience, like being a fishing boat crewman for years and years, and so they're very familiar with what's necessary in the boat. If the boat leaks, that's a problem. You know, if the planks are rotten, that's a problem. And they're privy to how it's done, how it's repaired, and they, some of them get into it and become good at it. Everybody who's interested in boats usually drops by the shop for one reason or another.
So that means you probably have your pulse on the heart of the boatyard in some respects, right?
In some respects, yes.
Can you give us an example of some of the people who have come through your shop and then ended up moving on to be on their own?
Pete Stein, who you interviewed last session, Tyler Thompson, who was a really excellent shipwright when he showed up here from the boat school, and he's now in Wrangell running a machine shop and a shipwright show. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of them. I'm just looking for the ones that are available right now. Oh, Richard Wilmore is working here, too. He was the prime shipwright at Mark Burns' place and one of the guys who started the Shipwrights Co-op. And he went back east for a while to start a boat school there, but that didn't work out. So he's back here and working out of this shop. He's probably the best shipwright around the neighborhood.
I heard some stories about going up to the town pub and getting people to help move lumber for you. Do you remember that?
I don't. But I do remember one time a barge full of 2x4s dumped them in the water on North Beach, and we ended up scrounging up 20,000 2x4s out of the deal. The shipwright guys built a lot of houses with that accident that the barge had.
Salvage rights, right?
Yeah, well, we had to bust open the slings of the 2x4s, else they wouldn't have been surplus. But as soon as we busted the bands on them, they all became loose and salvageable.
You arrived here in right around the mid-70s, 1974, something like that?
Yeah, 74, I think. Yeah, 74.
Describe Port Townsend at 1974.
Well, it was quite a bit different. I mean, you could go down to the bar at the Town Tavern and drink to your heart's content and then walk back to the Boat Haven on the Yellow Line and no cars went by, you know, so it was pretty quiet.
A lot of places for people to be able to live in, a lot of empty places that people could rent.
Well, you could buy a Victorian uptown for $15,000.
Did you ever do that?
Absolutely not. I've been steeped in poverty, so I've stuck with my boat, you know.
Were you living aboard all that time, though, when you were here?
Yeah.
Then there was a Wooden Boat Festival. The Wooden Boat Festival came along. How did that hatch?
That was a hoot. Some guys at Point Hudson put it together, and the local police were totally taken aback, 5,000 people showing up, and they didn't know what to think. They were all standing around with their hands on their guns, you know, and a perfectly pleasant crowd, you know, who tipped the restaurants, and no fights, no drunken brawls. It was really a wonderful get-together.
How many people were on the police department at that time?
Probably four or five, six maybe. Pretty low-key. You know, if you get drunk, they'll take you home kind of thing.
Well, that goes back in history. You know, Jack London was taken care of and spent the night in a cell.
Well, that's to protect his money.
So, Dave, it's pretty ideal that you have a business here and then got on the Port Commission. That's pretty stellar to be able to maintain both of those things. What would you like to share about being on the Port Commission?
I don't know what I could share. I ran for port commissioner four times, and the first two times I didn't make it, but then the second two times I did. So it was usually just because I didn't think the port was doing things correctly, and I wanted to go in there and stir it a little bit, which I did.
Well, you helped me out during my campaign, and you talked about communicating in a very simple way so that it's really easy to understand what the port is doing and how the public can get involved.
I mean, that's a very simple thing. Anybody who wants to approach the port with a proposal, all they have to do is make a proposal and come to the port and present their proposal.
So, Dave, I think you know your shop is positioned right under my office window.
I know.
And I don't know if that was by design, but I notice, particularly in the winter, some pretty remarkable boats coming through. They sort of beat up fishing boats, and then a few months later, they disappear after they look practically brand new. But I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that process where you're sitting up on the scaffolding and you're just banging in that corking that you do and kind of what that's all about.
Oh, well, usually we get a boat in here that is in need of repair. The last one, for example, was built in 1942, and it hadn't ever been worked on very much, so we reefed out the seams in preparation for caulking it. And in reefing out the seams, some of the boards fell on the ground because they were no longer attached to the boat, So we had to put new frames in it and a bunch of new planking, and then we fastened and recocked. So it's just this process of getting the boats strong enough so they can go do their work.
Well, I hear tell you became known as one of the best caulkers in the region, so they say.
Yeah, well, that's I like that rumor, you know.
What do you see in the future? What's your vision, not necessarily what you would like to see, but what do you see down the road here in the boatyard and for wooden boats and just the boatyard in general?
With the arrival of Aaron, it's changed complexion considerably, much to my chagrin. I've had to expand my lease, and you know, it's costing me more money, but it's still entertaining.
Because I'm keeping an eye on my window.
Yeah, that's the deal. Aaron is keeping an eye on things, and it's been beneficial for the port very much.
Dave Thompson, always thrifty. Looking after the shop. It's a pleasure sitting here. You know, when Pam described the shop and we looked around, and it's just a working environment that just, you know, is constantly being utilized with wonderful machinery that might not necessarily be 2 years old. It might be, how old are some of these machines in here?
About the ship saw. How old is that ship saw?
Well, I think that's a World War II job, and the planer's a 1942. They're modern machines, ball and roller bearing, and, you know, not Babbitt bearing stuff. They're state of the art. I mean, I got the planer for free. I couldn't pass it up.
How about, have you seen his bicycle? Well, he's got a state of the art bicycle, too.
Well, it's got it needs a tire.
Oh. Does it have bearings?
Oh, yeah, sure. It has. We have some relative bearing grease here around here somewhere.
Have any advice for our community in thinking about the importance of keeping what we have and what that may look like in the next few years?
Well, the only thing that I know much about is the marine trades. I don't hobnob in different circles very much, but the marine trades has been very productive and employs quite a number of people and has been a pleasure to be involved with.
Well, it's a pleasure to know that young shipwrights or apprentices or potential workers here in the boatyard have a friend in Dave Thompson, because you've been very helpful keeping the whole range of ages and talent and the passing on of skills and the craft of wooden boats. And so I'd like to thank you for that personally.
Well, it's been my pleasure. I mean, telling people or showing people what I know is means that they can do it too. And I think I taught the caulking class at the boat festival for 30 years, and that was very gratifying. It's been fun. Well, getting up in the morning, you know, and not wanting to sit there and look out the window, it's been motivational, you know. I enjoy coming down here and hanging around with the shop and the wood and the people and the boats. I've always liked hanging around at the boatyards. As a little kid, I used to wander around boatyards, and I'm still doing it. So it must be addictive.
It must be. Dave Thompson, thank you so much for joining us here on KBTC.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, this has been another episode of Our Working Waterfront with Dave Thompson sitting here in
Thompson Boat, better known as Charlie Noble Enterprises. Yeah, Charlie Noble. In the Navy, we used to send people to look for Charlie Noble, a new guy that came on the ship, because it was the smokestack that came out of the galley. But everybody knew about it, so they'd always say, oh, God, I just saw him. You know, I think he went to the other end of the ship.
Thank you, Dave.
Aha, says Lukey, I don't care. Aha, me boys. Aha, says Lukey, I don't care. I'll get me another in the spring of the year. Aha, aha, me riddle I day. Oh, Lukey's boat is painted green. Aha, me boys. Oh, Lukey's boat is painted green. The prettiest boat you ever seen. Aha, aha, me riddle I day.